Celestial navigation porn, not safe for work. On my way, missed you. Tony bit his lip and grinned down at the phone screen for probably the 10th time since he'd gotten the message, then flopped over on his back on the bed and stared up at the ceiling. His fingers splayed over his stomach, smoothing over the soft silk where the nightgown had bunched up. They had been bonded long enough that Tony could decipher anything from the smallest furrow of a frown that sometimes creased Steve's forehead when he was frustrated by some gap in his knowledge. Of Tony sometimes, though mostly these days, the host of other what's-the-world-coming-to moments Steve had to navigate, to the way Steve's hands on his hips meant making a decision. Steve's quirks had long since become familiar. Comforting, for the most part, though there were times Tony could see the tension building in the set of Steve's jaw and shoulders and knew it meant waking up to an empty place next to him in bed and Steve on the sofa with some infomercial playing in the background, unseen and unheard. Figuring Steve out once seemed a matter of survival, back when they first bonded. It was still so strange to Tony to look back at that time at the cabin and try to recapture the old fears and insecurities that kept Steve at a distance for so long. It seemed surreal, like a dream he could remember bits and pieces of, but not the whole. 2 years, though. 2 years was long enough to know Steve Rogers backwards and forwards and still feel like he was only barely scratching the surface of who his alpha was. It was, however, definitely long enough to know that "on my way, missed you" was not so subtle code for "I'm going to walk in the door and fuck you until you're so slick and sloppy from my giant cock, my knot's the only thing keeping me in you." Granted, Tony was paraphrasing just a tad there. Steve would call it making love. And Tony supposed that was just as true, if not as descriptive. He loved Steve with every fiber of his being. He loved Steve's mind, agile and brilliant, in ways that Tony often found himself grasping only later, after everything had fallen into place in some life-size chess game that only Steve could see sometimes. He loved Steve's body, all carefully controlled power and violence that Steve used as some kind of shield against a world he didn't quite trust with Tony. He loved Steve's heart, which insisted on seeing the best in people, on believing in what could be rather than what was. And miraculously, which he gave to Tony for safekeeping. He loved Steve's soul, this glowing, warm, soft place that cradled all of Tony's hopes and dreams, his pain and failures, all of it, all of Tony, and reflected it all back at him with nothing less than some kind of goddamn miracle of absolute acceptance. Not going to lie, though, Tony thought, fingers plucking at the delicate lavender fabric where it shimmered over his thighs. He loved Steve's big, beautiful, glorious cock, too. Long, thick, and curved ever so slightly to the left when he was fully erect, the long, wide vein pulsing down to the head. Uncut, unlike Tony's, which Tony found sinfully fascinating, much to Steve's occasional amusement and quite often very much to his enjoyment. He loved how much it stretched him whenever Steve took him, even with as much time as Steve usually took to get him prepared. Whenever Steve pushed into him, there was always that moment of burning stretch when Tony could barely swallow and it felt like it was impossible. And then it wasn't. And his body opened for Steve, all slick and so tight around Steve's cock, like he was made just for that, just for Steve. Tony sighed and checked his phone again. Wow. His waxing poetic had taken all of a whopping 3 minutes off the clock. Steve's cock deserved more than 3 minutes, Tony thought with a snort of laughter. Steve definitely gave more than 3 minutes, bless him. Apparently, as Tony had learned, bless the internet and Steve's alpha passcode, a lot of alphas had to resort to special knotted dildos or vibrators or even pills. That was depressing, Tony thought with a frown. He knew not every alpha was like Steve. But according to what he read online, there were some omegas who didn't even get to come when they were knotted. And the alpha didn't really seem to care, or worse, blame the omega. Because, of course, it was somehow the Omega's fault if the Alpha's perfect, precious knots couldn't reach or last long enough, or just plain weren't big enough to fill their Omegas the way Steve's could. Steve, on the other hand, treated Tony's orgasm like the brass ring, and he wasn't leaving the playing field until he had it. Sometimes, more than once, he liked for Tony to come first, give him that extra gush of slick just before Steve filled him, and it did help with the nodding, sure, but Tony thought Steve mostly just liked the feel of it around his cock, Tony all wet and loose and open like that. That's what Steve would whisper into his ear while he fucked into him, Tony thought, reaching up and brushing at the spot just below his earlobe, where he could almost feel the lingering heat of Steve's breath as he spoke those filthy, obscene, wonderful things into Tony's ear. America would be so ashamed of their captain, Tony thought, with a serene smile, as he traced his fingers up and down over his stomach. Such a dirty mouth on the man. And God, his mouth. The things he did with it. Things Tony had never dreamed someone would do to him. But Steve seemed to absolutely love, sucking down Tony's cock into the tight sheath of his throat, using his tongue and mouth on Tony's hole, licking inside him. Fuck, Tony whined, arching his back and neck. He checked his phone. 5 whole minutes. Great. Why did Steve have to go on this mission anyway? Stupid fucking world peace with such a goddamn cock block. Fine, so Tony was a bit horny. His Alpha had been gone a whole 6 days. 6 days. Tony had done all his classwork. Well, technically he'd done that by the second week of the semester, but whatever. He'd finished the project for Lydecker's biomechanical engineering class, rewrote use code so he would spritz the poor dying ficus plant Rhodey's mom brought over as a host gift when they'd had the entire Rhodes family over for the Super Bowl, and clean the whole townhouse, top to bottom. Okay, that last one wasn't 100% accurate. But he had put the dishes away, done the laundry, and vacuumed the floors. Well, he threw the takeout boxes away, ordered a few new shirts online, and found a pair of jeans with the tags on them stuck in the back of the closet, and then had spent the better part of a day listening to emo music, fucking Adele, which was all Steve's fault. He was deeply ashamed and would do 5 Hail Metallicas in the morning, missing Steve and taking the Roomba apart. He'd installed a hard drive, bulked up the plating, added a camera, a few sensors, and a grappling arm, and then gleefully watched it safely defuse a water balloon with a timing device attached. So, you know, your basic chores. Tony sighed and glanced over at the window where the bright lights of the Prudential Center and John Hancock Building, still small by comparison to the skyscrapers they'd seen in other places, lit the city. He liked Boston. It was slow, easy, so not California. He loved their townhome with its sloped hill of a road out front and a rooftop deck where he and Steve strung lights and sometimes watched old movies, all bundled up in sleeping bags, or danced when the nights were warm to the Andrews Sisters while Steve told him about Bucky or his mom, or how he'd once broken the neck of the man who couldn't say squirrel right. Steve would talk when they danced, and that was another thing Tony had learned. Not at first, not the first dance or the second, but after a while he'd talk, and sometimes he needed to, even when he didn't want to, Tony knew. No talking tonight, though, Tony suspected. Steve was on his way, and he had missed Tony. Steve did that. Sometimes. Not all the time. Not every mission. Far from it, really, but sometimes. Sometimes. When maybe something happened that Steve didn't like. Or maybe something happened that Steve liked too much. Tony wasn't ever quite sure, and wasn't sure he wanted to know, but sometimes there would be a sort of switch flicked, and Steve would need Tony in this wonderful, deep, perfect way that made Tony's mind sort of white out at the all-consuming force of it all. This whirlwind of desperate, aching, primal need that seemed to thrum through Steve. he told Steve once. A long time ago, in a white, too bright hospital room at Shield, that maybe sometimes it was okay. Better than okay, really. Okay didn't even begin to capture what it was, if Steve needed him like that sometimes. But he hadn't quite known then what he meant by the offer. Now, though, now he knew what it was like to be consumed, utterly and completely, to belong to his alpha, to be taken, held down, and used, brutally and wonderfully, and fuck, damn it, he was going to come. And Steve was probably still stuck somewhere on I-93, regretting his decision not to listen to Tony about the jetpack. Oh, he loved the slow, soft, lingering times, too. And he adored the teasing, playful times peppered with kisses that were part laugh. The quick, hard, rough times when one of them couldn't wait. He liked those, too. These times, though, the on my way missed you times, Tony thought he might like those the best. Maybe because they were rare, as if they required enough torque and friction to push past whatever held that part of Steve in check at other times. And God, did Tony like it, when all that carefully crafted, polished, and perfected exterior fell away, and that edge of power, that hum of violence, leashed and caged for Tony, only for Tony, got just that much closer to the surface, that much closer to being set free, and it was all for Tony, all his, peeled away, exposed, dug out, all for Tony, to please him, to take him apart, to let him belong to Steve in a way that only an Omega could ever really belong to an Alpha. It was heady, really. Just the thought of it made his mind go hazy and his limbs liquid with heat. He was half hard already, and just the thought of Steve was enough to make his balls tighten and cock start to throb insistently. He wanted to touch himself, ached to touch himself. Just a few strokes, just some friction, that's all he needed. He glanced down at the bed, imagined rutting against it, pulling up the gown, feeling the cotton sheet rough against the sensitive skin of his cock and balls. How good that would feel. Tony wet his lips. A line of slick seeped out of him, dripping down between his thighs. He wondered if Steve would be able to smell it when he got home. Tony liked to think he would, that Steve would come home and find the air thick with Tony's arousal and know how much Tony needed him. A few strokes, just a few, and he could take the edge off. Who knew how long it would actually take Steve to get home? Traffic. One of Coulson's precious forms. Cat up a tree. You never knew. Anything could delay him. Tony looked down and noticed there was a dark spot forming on the front of the gown where his cock head pressed against the silk. His hips jerked just a bit, canting forward against the gown, and Tony couldn't help but pull it tight, letting the head of his cock graze across the soft material. It wasn't enough. It wasn't nearly enough friction, but as much as he wanted to touch himself, he didn't want to, even more. It's more special to wait, Tony thought, with a mental harumph, though, in this case, that was true enough, he supposed. Steve liked it when Tony was good like that. When he would come home and find Tony needy and dripping and desperate. It tipped some scale in Steve and drew back whatever curtain Steve liked to put over that part of him, and he could just let himself go. Let himself want and take, and God, yes, Tony thought, straining again against the gown, letting his cock glide up and down, leaving a damp trail in its wake. It was good, those times. It was good all the time, sure. The slow, easy mornings when they woke up in each other's arms, all sleep warm and Tony far too comfortable to move much at all, and he could just let Steve do all the work. Look, having an alpha who could lift cars came in handy at times, Tony could freely admit. The fast, hurried times, when they just had to have each other like a couple of eager teenagers locked in a closet for 7 minutes of heaven. 8, come on, Tony's mental Steve voice mentally chided him, making him smile. Or the time when Tony couldn't tell if he was shaking from Steve's thrusts, or because he was laughing so hard because the goddamn cuckoo clock they'd gotten in Germany kept cuckooing each time the bed rocked, like it was cheering them on in bizarre German game show fashion, which was how there ended up being a clock-shaped hole in their wall that was now covered by one of Steve's drawings. But Tony could still make Steve turn red just by making a cuckoo noise, and he honestly thought that was a gift. Point being, sex with the perfect alpha was basically what anyone would expect, possibly with a few more bird noises, but other than that, basically perfect, let's face it. But these nights, and they were always nights, these nights, when Steve got home after a mission, still in his uniform bearing stains he didn't want to talk about, hair unkempt, eyes unfocused, breathing hot and hard, but his hands scrubbed clean, Tony knew there was some wall there that Steve didn't want him to cross, but he'd get home, and he would have missed Tony. Missed him in some fundamental way that Tony didn't quite understand. But on those nights, Steve needed him, wanted him, craved him. It did something to Tony. He couldn't explain it. Maybe he should have been afraid, or felt debased in some way, to be used like that. And that was what Steve was doing, using him to fill some need, some deep primal urge to take, to have, to claim Tony, make him his. Maybe that should have bothered Tony. When he thought about it, he felt like it should, but instead, God, he'd never felt more powerful than those moments when Steve would walk slowly, deliberately across the room, his eyes boring into Tony's, everything signaling this carefully contained control that was this close to snapping, and all because of Tony. All of that, that power, that strength, that energy, all of it belonged to Tony. It was intoxicating, exhilarating. Tony's eyes fell shut, and he let out a low, shuddering moan. His heart thudded against his ribs, and his cock seemed to pulse in time with the rhythm. Fuck, he wanted Steve. Needed him. Now. Stupid fucking Boston commute. Tony looked at his phone again. No new message. He grimaced and tossed it to one side of his head, letting the screen go black against the bed. The room was dark except for a single candle sitting on the bedside table, flicking as the ceiling fan slowly turned above. He'd once lined candles up on the windowsill next to the bed, thinking how Steve would see them shining there from the street when he got home, like some kind of beacon, ships and a storm-tossed sea or some such romantic bullshit. Tony had liked that idea. Steve had liked the idea too, which was why the Boston Fire Department had assigned Captain America autograph photo after three of the damn things had fallen off when the bed frame hit the wall particularly hard. On the other hand, taking out the fire alarm with Tony's Intro to Systems Biology textbook without even breaking the rhythm of his thrusts was one of the more impressive of Steve's maneuvers, in Tony's opinion. Like he said, perks to having the peak of human perfection as your alpha. Tony lay back on the bed and hiked the gown up, letting the cool air hit his aching cock. A pool of slick was steadily gathering between his ass cheeks, staining the gown and probably leaking through the comforter. Not that Steve would mind. Destruction of things in pursuit of their mutual pleasure was sort of a time-honored tradition for them. See Exhibit A, cabin door. Exhibit F, cuckoo clock. Exhibit M, like half of Tony's lingerie wardrobe. Exhibit T, whatever the fuck that had been on Paz's desk that time at S.H.I.E.L.D. R&D, which thank fuck had not exploded, though coming up with an explanation for why the current mirror had the impression of his left ass cheek on it had not been his finest moment, admittedly. Tony stretched his neck up and checked the time again. Soon, he thought, scrubbing his face with his hands. Anticipation heated his skin, lighting up his nerves, and making him want to squirm with the effort of waiting. He could feel himself loosening. Liquid heat pooled behind his balls, making his hole go all soft and pliant, readying him to be filled. The feeling of emptiness, of being open and empty, coupled with the throbbing pressure in his cock, all deep red and dripping pre-cum on his stomach and the hem of the gown. It was almost overwhelming. Like his mind couldn't settle on which one to feel and kept jumping between the two sensations, skipping across one, then unsatisfied, trying the other again. Drawing his feet up so his knees bent, Tony spread his legs, feeling a waft of cool air against the wet, heated rim of his hole. He moaned and bit out a curse. God, he wanted Steve to get home. He should send him a picture, Tony thought with a low chuckle. On tonight's news at 10, Captain America broke the land speed record formerly held by the appropriately named Thrust SSC. Let's go live to our reporter on the scene. Dave, how is that Omega of his handling Steve Rogers' giant cock? Tony huffed out a laugh, bit his lip, and shifted his hips a bit, spreading his legs a little wider. Emptiness pounded inside him like a drumbeat. Fuck, Steve, Tony groaned, letting his hands dig into the comforter. He felt his whole spasm quivering as more slick seeped out, and then it slackened, a flood of slick washing out of him as Tony arched his back, gripping the bed for dear life. God, he needed Steve. He needed Steve's big, beautiful cock and that glorious huge knot to take him, use him, possess him, fill him up and keep him filled, keep Steve's cum inside of him where it belonged until he felt bloated with it. So full, it felt like he was choking on it. Tony tossed his arm over his face and squeezed his eyes shut. He was going to wait. He would be good. He would be so good. He could do this. He could. He rolled over and pressed his hips into the bed, breathing out as the sensation washed over him. Repeating the motion sent a flare of wondrous heat behind his balls, where a core of pressure was building. His fingers dug into the comforter and he heard himself groan, low and long. His heart was thudding in his ears, so loudly he could almost feel the vibrations shaking the bed. No. Wait. Tony rolled back over and sat up. There was a loud thwumping noise getting progressively louder and the whole room was shaking, just enough for Tony to feel it. Above him, a thud followed by a creaking sound, and the whole room seemed to almost jump. Or Tony did, he wasn't sure. His mind had already gotten past helicopter and run screaming into the arms of thank fucking God. He scooted off the bed and walked carefully to the bedroom door as the noise and vibration continued from above. Gathering the gown into a ball in one hand to hide the wet spot, Tony tried to affect a nonchalant look as he leaned against the doorframe. Of course Steve would know. That was the whole point of the text. Steve wanting this, needing it, and Tony getting all twisted up thinking about it while he waited. And Steve getting to think about Tony getting all twisted up thinking about it. He would be hard and ready by the time he got here, Tony knew from experience. Maybe they wouldn't even make the bed. He'd gotten carpet burns once, though Steve felt terrible about it the next day. Tony had rather exulted in them, though, the way his skin was all reddened and still hurt a bit to touch the next day, if only because it reminded him of how much Steve had needed him and how good that little bit of pain felt while the rest of his body thrummed with pleasure. Steve always felt a little guilty about the marks whenever it happened. And even with as much care as Steve put into controlling his strength, it was going to happen. Tony loved it, though. His little secret badges of remembered pleasure, faint, bluish trophies of what he could do to Steve with nothing more than a slight move of his hips, the touch of his hand, a sigh, a moan, anything, because it was him. The whining, thumping sounds from above slowly started to fade. Not enough for Tony to hear the scrape of the key in the lock, so he started a bit. When the door opened and Steve stepped inside, eyes finding Tony almost immediately. Huh, Tony started, then had to clear his throat, where it had tightened to the point he couldn't quite get enough air. Hi, you.
Hi, you too, Steve said, slowly closing the door behind him and dropping the shield down with a soft thunk.
They stared at each other a moment. Steve was still in his uniform, though it was dirt-stained and streaked with something darker in a few spots, telling some story that Tony couldn't ask about. A day's growth of beard covered his cheeks and neck, and his hair was mussed, probably from the helicopter, but Steve even managed to pull off chopper hair because, of course, it made him look younger, boyish almost, though there was nothing boyish about his expression as his eyes traveled over Tony's body. Steve's nostrils flared, taking in the scent that had to lay on the air in the room. His lips parted, and he sucked in a breath like he could catch it on his tongue. Tony watched, waited. Steve's head dipped, his eyes closed for a long moment, then he lifted his chin and caught Tony's gaze. Naked, greedy hunger, that was all that Tony could discern on Steve's face. Not that he had much time to think it over. He sometimes forgot, even now, how fast Steve could move when he wanted to. All those wonderful muscles bunching into force and momentum, propelling him across the room and in front of Tony so fast, Tony gasped and would have stepped back were he not already sheltered in the doorway. Instead, his head snapped back in startle, and he probably would have smacked it rather neatly on the doorframe, except Steve's hand somehow got between his head and the wall, catching the motion.
I missed you, Steve breathed out, looking down at him.
Tony felt Steve's fingers curl into his hair where he still cradled Tony's head with his hand, nails scraping over the nape of his neck.
Yeah, I missed you, Tony began, only to have his words swallowed by Steve's mouth on his,
lightly at first, wind-chapped lips just brushing against Tony's.
Tony, Steve sighed, brushing his hand through Tony's hair, pulling apart the curls, and stroking through them again.
Yes, Alpha. Tony managed to croak before Steve's mouth was on his again, hot and wet and hard this time, tongue pushing in, even as Tony let his lips part, sweeping and plundering as Steve's hand slipped down to cup the back of Tony's neck. Tony groaned and reached up to wind his hands into the front of Steve's uniform, holding on as best he could as Steve's chest pushed him back against the doorframe. As soon as he let go of where he'd balled up the gown, his cock sprang free, hard and insistent between them. He knew Steve could feel the wetness that coated the gown and still trickled from the head of his cock. Steve would like that. Steve's mouth was slanted over his, tasting, using his tongue to trace the seam of Tony's lips, then dart inside, swirling around Tony's own. And he moaned, thrusting his hips against Tony's. And fuck, God, the friction of the silk gown and the hard, rough Kevlar against his cock was going to push him over the edge in no time. Not that Steve would mind. He craved it, Tony knew. That eagerness from Tony, that need. Loved it when Tony got all wet and loose for him. Steve pushed his leg between Tony's legs, rocking back and forth a bit. Speaking of eager, Tony thought, with a bright white burst of need behind his eyelids as he felt Steve's hard length grate against the juncture of his thighs, breathing in through his nose as Steve's mouth continued to plunder his own. Tony could smell the tang of sweat on Steve's skin, a heady combination of musk and salt and Steve. He stretched up on his toes, seeking more, letting his head fall back until Steve's hand was all but holding him up. And God, it was so good. Like flying off the highest point of the swing, arcing through the air, not sure how he would land, he was drowning in heat and warmth and aching need. And just when he thought he couldn't take any more, Steve shifted his mouth, found some other region of Tony's mouth to explore,
tightened his grip on Tony's neck and growled low in the back of his throat, sending the reverberation tremoring past Tony's lips. Tony sucked in a sharp breath and felt his whole body seem to go liquid, spreading out, limbs loosening and muscles going limp. Steve finally pulled his head back slightly and gazed down at Tony, eyes hard and gleaming even in the low light. "I missed you," he said again. But this time there was so much more there, a kind of promise and question all rolled into one. Tony raised his eyes up to Steve's and drew in a shuddering breath. His whole body was alight, thrumming with energy that skimmed under his skin and crackled along his nerves, making his heart pound, but somehow kept the rest of him held suspended. He was fairly sure if Steve let him go, he would just melt into the floor, though he knew Steve would never let that happen. "Show me. It's okay, Steve. Show me how much you miss me," Tony husked out, catching Steve's gaze from under lashes that were already wet and clumping together. "Please, Steve, I need you to show me. Alpha. Please." Tony panted, pushing his cock against Steve with a low, needy whine. That was all it took, thank God. Though Tony wasn't above begging at this point. Steve looked down at him, then slowly peeled Tony's hands from the front of his uniform and raised them up above Tony's head, clasping one big hand around Tony's wrists where they were suspended above his head. Tony forgot how to breathe, his mouth falling open into a silent O that was the last of the air in his lungs. Steve's eyes traveled slowly down his body, taking in the dampness on his stomach and thighs, the way his cock tented the pale fabric, how his leg muscles quivered all the way down to where he pushed up a little on his toes. Tony's skin heated at the possessiveness in the look, the way it made him feel like he was Steve's, like there was some deep truth to that idea that was just beyond his mind's reach. "Show me," Tony said again. His voice was surprisingly steady this time, and he had a moment to feel proud of that before Steve's other hand found the back of his neck again, pressing forward hard enough to force it into a bend. Tony's vision swam for a moment. The world righted, and he let his eyes flutter shut as waves of want and need and heat flooded through his body, settling with an unyielding pressure that worked its way through his belly, tightened his balls, and built at the base of his cock into a pulsing drumbeat. Another flush of slickness leaked out of his loose hole. It should probably embarrass him, Tony thought, rather dimly. But he felt Steve's hand spasm on his neck and shuddered at the feeling of being held so tightly and safely and with such care. It was hard to explain, this feeling of deep, aching belonging that always came when Steve touched him like this. Steve released his grip on Tony's hands and then gave his neck one final squeeze before letting him go and sweeping Tony into his arms, bridal style, pulling Tony against his chest so Tony could bury his face into the curve of Steve's neck, the way he knew Tony liked to do. He carried Tony the few paces into the bedroom and kicked the door shut without breaking stride, gently depositing Tony on the center of their bed. "I was good for you," Tony pointed out in a breathless whisper, voice threaded with need. Not just desire, but the need for Steve's approval swam around in his hazy, lust-fogged brain, too. "I know you were," Steve replied. His hands were running over Tony's sweat-slickened skin, where the gown was sticking to him in places, and lightly picking at it, almost in fascination, before pushing it up just above Tony's waist, leaving Tony's cock to jut out between them, red-veined and straining, glistening in the flickering candlelight. A desperate, mewling sound escaped him. He needed Steve's hands on him so badly, the strange and familiar combination of pressure and emptiness nearly overwhelming him. He lifted his hips in invitation, which was apparently enough, since Steve just shoved his legs apart, bending them up at the knees to expose Tony's hole, where it dripped, slack and slickened, fluttering a bit as Steve pushed his legs even wider. It should probably embarrass him, Tony thought. But the thought was distant, as if he would have to run too fast to catch up to it.
"You're so wet for me, baby," Steve groaned, low and rumbly and clearly pleased.
Tony knew he was, knew Steve loved it, but there was something about hearing it, those filthy, wonderful words coming from Steve, that was far better than knowing it in his head.
"God, you're beautiful, Tony. Want to feel you. Please, Steve, please, need you," Tony chanted, gasping, each word sounding like it was punched out of him on his last breath.
Steve leaned down to kiss him again, hard and brutal this time, all pretense gone. Tony lifted his hips, grinding against Steve as best he could. He jerked in surprise when he felt Steve's fingers graze the rim of his hole, circling it and spreading the slick around before pushing down the line of his ass, gathering more slick and pressing into the delicate skin there. Tony's vision widened for a moment as Steve's fingers massaged the spot behind his balls, and his whole body went rigid before seeming to dissolve into liquid heat. Steve's fingers found his hole again, circling gently, then pressing harder at the rim. Tony was sure he was going to pass out if Steve didn't fuck him or touch him or something, anything. He moaned into Steve's mouth, scooting his hips down encouragingly as he did. Finally, he felt the blunt tip of Steve's finger breach him. Tony's cock juddered and spurted as Steve's finger slipped deep inside him, past the knuckle, and oh, fuck. Tony tore his mouth from Steve's and arched his back and neck, mouth falling open, though he couldn't manage anything more than breathing as Steve's finger pushed all the way into him. Steve was still in his uniform, still in his gloves, the fingerless ones that let him catch the shield so well. "Fuck, fuck, fuck," Tony mentally chanted as the leather scraped rough and hard against the insides of his channel. He bit his lip, tasted blood, and lolled his head to the side, letting Steve's mouth find his neck, kissing, sucking, and biting along his jaw and down the column of his throat while he fucked Tony on his finger. Burning pressure lit up inside him, and Tony felt another gush of slick. That helped ease it for a moment, but then Steve slid in another finger and started fucking Tony's hole open in earnest, and bit down hard on the stretch of skin between Tony's neck and shoulder at the same time.
Steve,
Tony stammered, the words seeming to get tangled on his tongue as a bubble of pleasure pain welled up inside him, sending him cascading over some edge he hadn't realized he had been teetering on.
"Look at you, so ready for me. You like that?" Steve asked, voice husky and warm against the skin of Tony's neck. "You do, don't you? You need more, though. Is that it? Do you want more, Tony?"
"Yeah. Fuck. Jesus, yes. Please, Steve. More, please," Tony pleaded between gasps of air as Steve continued to pump his fingers in and out. The leather of the gloves, where they peeled up at the knuckle of his fingers, sometimes catching on Tony's rim as Steve pushed in. Tony's addled brain couldn't seem to decide if it was pain or pleasure, and so just sort of fell into feeling everything at once. He couldn't stay still, kept squirming and arching, canting his hips up and rolling his head back and forth, like some wanton, needy thing. His whole body quivering and covered in goose flesh. There was something terrible and wonderful about Steve doing this to him, using the gloves like that, not even bothering to take them off. It felt filthy, wrong, obscene. He loved it, and felt hot shame burn through him at the realization, but that somehow made it better, which made no sense. But he just squelched his eyes shut and let his body take over.
"Need you. Please, Steve, need you.
What do you need, Tony? Steve breathed out, a little playful now that he had Tony writhing beneath him.
You. Please, Steve.
Tony wailed as a third finger joined the others, stretching him wide. He lost the ability to speak, just snapped his eyes open and stared glass-eyed at the ceiling while Steve worked him. His cock kept rubbing against the front of Steve's uniform, leaving a trail of pre-cum just under the star. And when he finally looked down, the combination of Steve's leather-clad fingers pushing away the emptiness inside him, only to leave a deeper ache in their wake, the friction of his cock head against the rough Kevlar, and the trail of clear liquid dangling between the tip of his cock and the Captain America uniform, was enough to push him over the edge. Everything that had been building since he got Steve's message, building for days, really, ever since Steve left, it all slammed into him at once. His body went taut, hips jerking wildly, making Steve's fingers lose their rhythm before Steve got a hand on Tony's hip, holding him steady as streams of cum coated the front of Steve's uniform. Red, white, and blue-balled no more, Tony thought, somewhat hysterically. Spots danced in his vision. Another rush of slick gushed out, wetting Steve's hand and leaking down the crease of Tony's ass onto the bed.
That's it, baby. Come on. Come for me, Tony, Steve urged.
Steve's hand left Tony's hip long enough to dip into the mess between Tony's legs. Then he wrapped it around Tony's aching cock, stroking Tony through the last vestiges of his orgasm.
Oh, God, Tony moaned, going limp.
He felt like he could simply keep sinking into the bed, boneless and spent. He tossed a hand over his reddened face for a moment as his soul clenched around Steve's fingers as Steve pulled them out.
Steve, he whined. Please, he said, dropping his arm to the side and looking up at Steve.
He stopped, not sure what he was. Steve's hands were already on his uniform, all but tearing the top part off and tossing it to the side, then opening the fly and pulling his cock out. Tony's mouth watered at the sight of it, thick and long, a deep purpled red, the long vein on the underside pulsing as the tip leaked shiny rivulets of fluid. He'd never thought of cocks being beautiful, but Steve's was, and the knot head at the end, all bulbous and rounded, so different from Tony's own. It would fill him and keep him full, the way only an alpha could, claim him in a way that went beyond just sex. When they were like that, they were together in such a deep, visceral, ancient sort of way, part of something far larger and older than either of them. I am his, and he is mine, Tony thought, staring at Steve's cock. He licked his lips and caught Steve's eyes track the movement, then deliberately spread his knees, offering himself up. Steve's eyes flashed down to Tony's hole and back up at him, gaze going hard, jaw tightening. And there was a sense of something building there. Maybe a change in the air or his scent, Tony didn't know. Some primal part of his brain knew, though. Recognized it, wanted it, craved it. Tony swallowed past the sudden lump in the back of his throat and reached out, taking the hard length in his hand.
Alpha, Tony said, lowering his eyes and dropping his chin to his chest.
Steve groaned, then swatted Tony's hand away. He got more slick on his hand and coated his cock, then pushed Tony's legs apart, lifting his hips and lining up his cock. Tony had time to feel the head of it at his entrance, time to think it wasn't going to work. He was loose and open, almost to gaping, but Steve was huge, and even as his body stretched, even though he knew by now that this would in fact work, there was still that moment of terror and wonder as Steve pushed past his rim. The stretch burned as his body worked to take Steve's cock. More slick came, giving him some relief, and he let out a low, keening moan as Steve thrust deep and hard as soon as his knot head breached Tony's hole. Tony's body rocked with the motion, and he cried out, blinking, hands scabbering for some kind of purchase on the bed, and finally grabbing onto Steve's arm.
Tony.
Steve groaned, filling him completely.
Mine, he growled. Yours,
Tony managed to choke out. The back of his throat closed off and he had to work to swallow. Had to remind himself to breathe. All he could seem to think about was how full he was, how stretched out and filled up he was, how amazing it was that he could do this, take that big, beautiful cock all the way into his body, like it was made just for that one singular task. A heady rush of power and desire buzzed through his head and down his spine, settling low and warm in his belly as Steve drew back, catching the head of his cock on Tony's rim a bit, teasing almost, then rammed back in, hard enough to make Tony's teeth clack together. He didn't break rhythm again. This was about Steve now, and Tony loved it, loved the way his body opened for Steve, impossibly wide and loose, so as to make him wonder if he would ever be the same again when Steve was done. Maybe he wouldn't. He wasn't sure he cared. He dropped his hands from Steve's arms and stretched them out over his head, reaching to curl the comforter in his hands. Back arching, he met Steve's thrust, letting Steve set a brutal pace and just taking it, being there, being taken and used, and God, it was glorious. He didn't have to think. He didn't have to do. He didn't have to be. He could just lay there and let Steve have his way. And sometimes he thought there was nothing better.
God, Tony, Steve mumbled, catching Tony's hips in his hands and holding him there at just the angle he seemed to always be able to find, hitting that sweet spot deep inside Tony on each thrust.
Tony could feel his cock twitch with interest, though his body seemed to be held in a state of suspended animation for the moment. Limbs languid, heartbeat steady, eyes wide, and breath coming in soft little pants that kept time with Steve's thrusts. Steve was pounding into him mercilessly, grunting with the effort, the slap of his balls against Tony's skin punctuating his grunts. It wouldn't be long now. Tony had time to think, and then he felt Steve's thrust stutter, and he gave a shout above Tony, then rammed into him again, deep and hard, gripping Tony's hips, where there would be long, blue bruises tomorrow morning. Tony felt a warm shot of cum fill him. He felt Steve's hips judder, jerking in rapid short thrusts as he chased his orgasm. More and more cum filled him. Tony could feel a trickle of it leak out around Steve's cock, and then Steve let out a long, husked-out groan, thrust deep one more time, then collapsed on Tony, managing to brace his fall with one hand, though it still forced the air out of Tony's chest in a short, startled gasp. Steve hummed, a happy, satisfied sort of noise, and nudged his nose at Tony's jaw until Tony turned his head for a kiss. This one almost sweet compared to the earlier ones that left his lips swollen and bruised. But Steve was always like some kind of big puppy who just played the best game of fetch ever after one of these kinds of welcome back sessions. Tony sighed and wound his hands around Steve's head, carting his fingers through Steve's hair. It was spiky with sweat in places, and Tony wasn't exactly helping much with the situation. But it seemed to soothe Steve, who kept pressing feather-like kisses to Tony's shoulder and neck over the spot that bore his mark, almost like an apology. Not that Steve was actually sorry in the slightest. Not really, Tony knew. He liked making the marks almost as much as Tony liked wearing them. Steve sucked against the bite, tongue laving over the depressions where his teeth had been, and Tony moaned, arching his neck, feeling Steve's knot start to expand deep inside him. He loved the feeling of being so full of Steve's cock that the pressure and fullness seemed to be in every part of his body, and then still having to take more. Being knotted went beyond pleasure or pain, beyond orgasm or sex. It was deeply intimate, giving and receiving on a fundamental level. They were tethered together in an act that spanned thousands of years, that made both Alpha and Omega vulnerable for a time and yet was required for procreation. It seemed to make no sense, and hadn't to Tony for a long time, but then there was Steve. And being with Steve like this, having Steve be his in this way, it was, well, it was breathtaking. No one else would ever see Steve like this. No one else would ever feel what it was like to have Steve be a part of them the way Tony got to. For this time, they were one being, and every barrier between them had to fall away. Tony was pain and violence and fear and longing, and Steve was light and love and warmth. And he thought it was the same for Steve, only reversed. That was what this brought them, this nearly unbearable closeness, where they couldn't hide, not from each other. Tony shifted slightly, wrapping his legs around Steve's waist. That earned him a soft sigh. One of Steve's hands found Tony's nipple and toyed with it almost absently through the gown, until Steve bent his head and sucked the hardened peak into his mouth through the silk, making Tony moan, then pulled back his head and smiled at Tony, that sweet, slow-eyed, lopsided grin that Tony adored. "Love you," Steve said, leaning his head down to nuzzle at Tony's neck. "Oh, look who's all apple pie nice now," Tony harumphed a bit, a teasing smile on his lips. He ran his hands down over Steve's chest, flicking Steve's nipple and watching as Steve bit his lip and dropped his head, a flush of heat staining his cheeks, making Tony glow with warmth. The knot pulsed inside him, widening until it was pressing against Tony's prostate, keeping Steve's seed deep inside him in the currently vain hope that maybe something would come of it. He wasn't due for a heat for a while, though, and the idea of a kid seemed so far away. But there was a small empty spot next to them that Tony hadn't noticed before, and each time he looked, it got a little bigger. Soon, he thought, hoped, maybe one day, after grad school, or while he was taking a research sabbatical maybe, he'd look down and notice his belly was a little plumper. Steve would notice first, most likely, something about Tony's scent changing. It was a nice thought. "You smell good," Steve mumbled as he nibbled the line of Tony's jaw. "It's owed to Steve. No wonder you like it," Tony replied. "Smell like Tony should," Steve said, shaking his head a bit as a huff of a laugh escaped him. Tony rolled his eyes. Catching the gesture, Steve shifted his hips a bit, and the knot brushed across Tony's prostate, earning a sharp hiss. "Cheater," Tony accused lightly, then let his head fall back and his eyes close. The deep pressure was growing. His stomach was hard with it. His cock kept trying rather valiantly, Tony thought, to show equal interest. He let out a deep breath. Steve rocked his hips again, and white, hot pulses of pleasure spiked down Tony's cock. He caught his lip between his teeth and rolled it into his mouth. Again, the knot pushed against his prostate, then again and again, and soon he was hard. He didn't always come on Steve's knot, but Steve liked it when he did. Apparently, Tony had learned from the internet. This was a rare and wondrous thing where every alpha had heard of someone who this happened to, like some sort of weird knot-themed version of 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. Steve's hand delved between Tony's legs and dipped in the slick that still clung to his bottom and thighs, then found Tony's cock, wrapping his hand around it, the leather soaked through with Tony's slick. And God, okay, yes, it was fucking hot as hell that this had been inside him for fuck's sake and was now being used to get him off. Steve stroked once, long and slow, twisting his wrist on the head as his knot pressed against Tony's prostate. Spirals of pleasure worked their way through Tony's body, finding some kind of end point at the tip of his cock. Steve bent his head again and took Tony's other nipple in his mouth, sucking hard through the gown, the sensation of heat and moisture and the soft scrape of the silk over the taut peak sent shivers down Tony's spine. He wasn't going to last long, Tony knew, not with Steve's mouth and hand and knot all working together to send him over the edge. Steve thrust again and the knot pushed hard against Tony's prostate. He clamped down on his lip, squeezed his eyes shut and pumped his cock into the rough, wet circle of Steve's hand, feeling the burning slide of the leather against the sensitive skin of his cock. Not going to take long turned into embarrassingly short fairly quickly as Steve pulled his cock out just slightly before sliding in again, angling the knot just right. Tony came with a loud cry, seed spilling somewhat weakly into Steve's hand. It wasn't much, but it felt wonderful, this release while he was still so full with Steve's knot. Steve was murmuring words into Tony's ear. Good words, Tony could tell, though he was floating too high to hear them. Finally, he felt the knot release and start to gradually go down. It always felt like a loss when Steve pulled out of him. But times like this, he was so loose and gaping, his hole unable to close, the emptiness was almost overwhelming. He whined a little and reached for Steve, drawing his mouth down for a kiss. When they broke apart, Steve sat up and tucked that enormous, beautiful, perfect cock of his back into the pants of his uniform. Tony frowned. What's wrong? Steve asked, catching Tony's look. Who said you could put that away? Tony demanded, then grinned and tugged at Steve's shoulders until he fell down next to Tony on the bed, making the whole thing bounce underneath them. Tony sat up, then turned over and twisted himself until he had one leg thrown over Steve's lap. Steve sat up and gripped Tony's thighs where the gown bunched up between them. One of the shoulders had fallen down, and Tony saw Steve's eyes dart to the curve of his neck, unblemished, unlike the other side. Tony reached out and kept Steve's jaw in his hands, tilting Steve's head until his alpha was looking up at him. I missed you too, you know. I hate it when you're gone. I know, Steve replied. I'll come back to you, Tony. You know I always do, don't I? What if you don't? Tony asked, breath suddenly catching and going cold in his chest. What if one time you don't? Well, Steve drawled, a small smile splitting his face. I kind of suspect that's when you'll come get me. On your super secret mission I'm not supposed to know about, how will I even know where to find you? Tony demanded with a frown. Steve's hands tightened on Tony's thighs, nudging Tony closer. We'll always find each other, Tony. Always, Steve whispered, eyes going soft and crinkling at the corners. It's what we do. It's what we were meant to do, to find each other. How do you know? How do you know that it wasn't just totally random? I mean, you, the whole Valkyrie thing, me, my parents. Why are you so sure we're this, I don't know, destiny thing? Tony asked, suddenly defeated. He dropped his hands from Steve's face, only to have Steve capture his wrists and bring them back up. Steve pressed a kiss to one of Tony's palms and then the other, placing Tony's hands back along his jaw. Because I once looked through a pathway across the universe. It was infinite and terrifying. But at the end, there was you, Tony. You, Steve said, face going soft under Tony's hands. I followed the stars to get you, Tony. And you told me yourself. That's how you find your way home.